is exalted, our King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, our King is exalted on high. He is exalted, our King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, our King is exalted on high. He is exalted, our King is exalted on high.
You know, over the years, as we walk with the Lord, and we have our ups and our downs, don't we? Huh? We do. But He is faithful. He is forever faithful. He's faithful even when we're not faithful. Has anybody ever here not been faithful? Isn't it nice to know that He's faithful regardless? Because He loves us so. And we need His love. We need His peace. We need His encouragement. We need to be lifted out of the doldrums. And there's a heaviness over this congregation this morning. Do you sense the heaviness? Am I imagining this? I don't think so. And I think it's an attack from the enemy. In the name of Jesus, by the power of His blood, we stand against it. We come against it. You will not have any power over this congregation today. We're the children of the King. We're here to rejoice. We're here to learn more about our Father and His goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As that forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above.
faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have is in thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
He's going to keep providing all that we need. Amen. Yes, he is.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased above. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
Come on, people, help me, I'm losing it.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You know, we're going to start this. We've always sang, and we're going to sing, I could sing of your love forever. We could, couldn't we? But later, when we go to close the song out, we're going to sing, we will. We will. You know, there's a could. Could means me. Will means we will. And we will, won't we? All right, Billion. For God to create a clean heart in you. I'm ready. You know what? I was kind of snarky this week. A couple of times. Huh? Does that surprise you? Has anybody else here been a little snarky this week? What is up with that? Huh? We got to fight the good fight. Amen? We got to keep speaking those things that aren't as though they are. Huh? In our lives and in the lives of our people that we love, even the people that we don't. You know what? I don't love everybody. I don't know about the rest of you. I'm just hanging out up here. Huh? But I don't. I mean, I can say, I love you in the Lord. We've all heard that, haven't we? It's a word. In all honesty, I don't love everyone. Well, for one thing, I don't know everyone. But, you know, if there are things about me that you don't necessarily love, pray for me. We'll keep praying for each other, won't we? We're still changing. We're still growing. We have eternity. And we keep getting a little better. But there's always room for improvement. And it's our hearts. You know, this world is hard on hearts. It's really hard on hearts. Our hearts can get hard. Our hearts can get cold. Our hearts can get hurt. Huh? And God wants to heal all that. We have a tendency to internalize a lot of stuff that we shouldn't. We just shouldn't. We should give it to the Lord. It's a burden. Huh? He wants to carry our burdens. We got to retrain our thinking. We got to retrain our emotions, and we do it by the Word. The washing of the water of the Word, the touch of the Holy Spirit, the love of the brethren. So I hope when I'm down, some of you out there are up. And when you're down, I'll try to be up. And we'll just keep speaking encouragement. Amen. Amen. Okay, Bill.
Beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can match your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. In awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praises due, I stand in awe of you, and I stand. In awe of you, I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand. Oh.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you and we can worship you and we can look to you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd open up your word for us today. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to receive it. I just pray, Lord, you'd fill this place with your spirit. I pray that you would remove the subdued spirit that's in here today, Lord. Lord, as Linda said, there's a heaviness in here. But Lord, we're not going to claim that. We're going to claim your joy. We're going to claim your spirit. We're going to claim your working in our lives and moving throughout this sanctuary, Lord. Touch hearts here today, Lord. Create clean hearts that we might serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. Says so much, doesn't it? We're going to be in Ezekiel today, chapter 47. We're going to be talking about the river of God. I'm going to say a few words about the temple also. A lot of people have a hard time with the book of Ezekiel for some reason. I know I do. It's God's word, but it's there's so much there. Does anybody fully understand the book of Ezekiel? He's talking about the temple. Which temple? Is this the temple during the tribulation? I don't think so. Is it the temple during the millennial reign? That's what most people seem to think. Is it just a spiritual temple? Is it just figurative instead of literal? If you look back a few chapters, or the chapter preceding anyway, you'll see that there's offerings being made, there's sacrifices being made. If this is the millennial temple, then why animal sacrifices? The temple has always been a place of sacrifice. And we also have to remember there's an awful lot of Levites working in that temple that need to eat. So maybe that's why. But the Word of God goes so deep sometimes, usually, always. And there's things in Ezekiel that just are so deep that we just, unless God reveals them to us, we're not going to fully understand it. The temple and the river. Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me out the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. This is interesting when you look at it. I was reading this week about the Mississippi River, and the Mississippi River, where it begins, is less than 3 feet wide. But yet it grows into one of second longest river in the country, because it's fed with tributaries, and it's fed with streams, and it's fed with a lot of runoff. But this river starts out with just a trickle, and there's no tributaries, there's nothing feeding it. See, God does not need the world to help him out. He can grow this river into a river that's so deep you can't even wade in it. You can't pass over. He doesn't need the world's help. I'm going to go back to the temple. There's several different pictures that we see with the temple. Jesus said in John 2:19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Which temple is he talking about? He's talking about his body. He's not talking about the temple in Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Well, if Jesus is the temple, how can we be the temple? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. Is this a picture of Jesus Christ? As with a lot of things in the Bible, there's several different applications that can be given to it. Verse 1 said, "After he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." There's a lot of directions in here, cardinal directions. Modern times, for orientation, we face to the north, don't we? In ancient times, they faced to the east, because the sun came up in the east. The sun was more significant. The east was more significant than the north, the south, and the west. The east represents light. The Garden of Eden was placed in the east. The entrance to the Garden of Eden was in the east. The temple, the entrance to the temple, the tabernacle, was in the east. Salvation was in the east. But it wasn't all good in that direction. The children of Israel, when they were taken into captivity, went to Babylon, which is in the east. But yet God went there and brought them back from exile. So we see his salvation there. When the children of Israel camped in the wilderness, the encampment faced the east. When Jesus was on the cross faced the east. The south, which is the right hand. The right hand is usually mentioned in a good way in the Bible. But it also represents the wilderness. It represents Egypt. But then again, it's the place where God appeared to Moses. Where God went with Moses to Egypt to deliver his people. So there's good and bad there, isn't there? The north is a symbol of the permanent. The polar stars are always in the sky. Isaiah 14:13 says that the north is the place of God's celestial dwelling. But it's the left hand. The left hand isn't always good. It's thought of as a place of disaster because when the children of Israel were invaded, usually it was from the north. Not always, but usually from the north. The west isn't mentioned here. The west is where the sun goes down. It represents evil. It represents disaster. It represents death and darkness. See, there's good and evil in every direction, isn't there? But also there's God in every direction. The east. As I said, the cross was in the east, which means Jesus was facing the east. John 19:34 says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Here in verse 1 it says that the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. It was exactly the same thing with Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? Because he was on the altar. The blood and the water came out of his right side, on the south side, and it flowed to the east. We see here a progression. We see the river getting bigger, getting wider. And for a long time, I was thinking that the river that's talked about here, that they were measuring out to go across the river. But they're not. He's measuring eastward along with the river. What does the river represent? Somebody mentioned to me this morning the Word of God, and that's true. But it also represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. It represents our relationship and our walk with the Lord. How deep is it? Where we are, how deep is it? And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. Where are we in that river? That's something I have to ask myself. Where am I in that river? It comes to the ankles first. A thousand cubits, which is about a quarter of a mile. It comes to the ankles. You're just waiting. Is that where we are? Barely have our feet in the water? At least we took that step of faith, and at least we're there. But how much control does that river have over us? It's washing our feet, maybe, which is good. Jesus showed that in John chapter 13. We do need to have our feet washed. But the current, the force of the river, is not affecting us if that's all we are. We're up to the knees. Knees represent praying. It represents a dependence on God. We've gone a little further, another quarter mile or so into that river. But yet, how much is that current? How much is the force of that river really affecting us there? Not as much. Another 1,000 cubits, and it's up to the loins, up to the waist. The loins represent strength. Our strength is fighting against that river, isn't it? But yet we're further than we were when it was up to our knees or up to our ankles. Up to our loins or up to our waist, it shows less of us is shown. More of the river is shown. The river is increasing. We are decreasing. John the Baptist said about Jesus Christ, He must increase, I must decrease. The things of us must decrease as He increases. But even with the water up to the waist, it might pick you up and it might actually move you a little bit. You can feel the force. You can feel what it's trying to do. Because that river is trying to take you further, isn't it? And the further we go in that river, the further, the more it's going to pull us or push us. Finally, it says it's over his head. A place where you have to swim. Now, that can cause a lot of people to panic. So I shared several weeks ago about an incident in my past, but when I almost drowned, I was just a child. But for a long time, I was afraid of the water. I learned to swim, but I wasn't very comfortable in the water at all. Because in my mind, there was still that incident that happened. Then I was in my early 20s and I was working at a mobile home park in Turlock, California. And there's a swimming pool there, and of course it gets hot in the summertime. Someone's familiar with Turlock? It gets hot there in the summertime, and they had a swimming pool. And one day I was looking at that swimming pool, you know, I was in the water, and I thought, you know, even though I could swim across it, for some reason I wanted to try to walk along the bottom of the pool, just walk to the other end. I knew that I could get up, you know, get my head up out of water into the air if I needed it. So I tried to walk, and I realized I couldn't do it because I was too buoyant for it. The water was, I was actually being lifted up, and it made me realize that I didn't have any reason to be afraid of the water. Are we the same way, or do we have the same fear of this river of God, that we're afraid what it's going to do for us? We need to trust. Allow that river to take us where it's going to take us. Because God isn't going to allow anything to happen to us that He doesn't allow or He doesn't want. Matthew 14, 26 and 29 through 29. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is the Spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I know this probably isn't a very good example, but yet the fact remains that when he's walking on the water at the beginning, he's only getting his feet wet. In John 21:7, it says, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Peter had grown an awful lot between these two incidents. He'd been broken. He was ready to go fully into that water. How about us? Are we ready to go fully into the water? How deep are we? How deep do we want to be? What keeps us from going deeper? When it's only up to our ankle, we can get out anytime we want, can't we? We have control. But the deeper we go, the less control there is. Verse 11, because there's another spot in the river too that I want to talk about a little bit. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. That's at the edge of the river. That's not really in the river, is it? That's a place where maybe you might find frogs or snakes. But there's no water moving there. It's stagnant. These aren't people that have chosen, the people there have not chosen to be in the river. They're on the edge. There's no benefits from that river at all from where they are. The river gives life. The river gives healing, provision, fruitfulness, quickens us. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." He brought us back from death. John chapter 7, verses, I'm going to start in verse 37. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The moving of the Spirit in our life. But we have to allow it to happen, don't we? We have to make the choice, the decision, to allow God to work in His life. We have to give up control of our life and allow that river to take us where it wants to take us. This morning is Communion Sunday. And as Paul says, we need to be prepared for communion. We need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure that we don't have any bad feelings about other people. We need to make sure that our relationship with the Lord is good. Does he have anything against us? Do we have anything against our neighbor? I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and drink this cup, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your head and quietly speak to the Lord and allow him to speak to you. Examine your hearts. Has everybody been served? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for what it represents. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you gave for us. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for what this cup represents. I thank you, Lord, that you willingly picked up the cup and you suffered. You shed your blood so that we might live. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You may drink the cup. Lord, we thank you. We will sing of your love forever, Lord. I just want to ask everybody just to think on the things that the Lord has done for you. The way he's poured out his love and shown his love to you. I believe we've all had things done for us that we don't understand how it happened. But the Lord, in his mercy and his grace, has shown himself to be faithful.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all